was lovely. Good evening. I'd like to call to order this special meeting and study session of November 13th, 2018. Our study session this evening is on the 2019 to 2020 budget. Thank you for joining us. And if we could have the roll, please, Ms. Anderson.
Councilmember Nixon.
Here.
Councilmember Asher.
Here.
Councilmember Sweet.
Here.
Councilmember Pascal.
Here.
Deputy Mayor Arnold.
Here.
Mayor Wallen.
Here. Thank you very much. City Manager.
Madam Mayor.
Oh, yes, sir.
I would like to move to excuse
Councilmember
Tom Neer from tonight's meeting.
Thank you. It's been moved by Councilmember Nixon, seconded by Deputy Mayor Arnold to excuse the absence of Councilmember Neer this evening, who's out of town on business. Any discussion? All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? Thank you very much, Mr. Neer's excuse. Thank you very much, Mr. Nixon, for that catch. I did miss him. Quite apparent he's not here. Okay, City Manager.
Okay, thank you, Madam Mayor, members of the Council. So tonight is essentially an extended study session of our budget. And the purpose tonight is twofold. First is to get some direction from the Council on a general sense of things you might want to change or add to the City Manager's recommendation. And then at the very end, we'll be talking about the fiscal policy recommendations. Two things that I want to emphasize. One is you don't make any final decisions tonight. So the actual budget doesn't happen until December 11th. And you have another shot at this on November 20th. So if we get to a place where maybe we're not all in agreement or maybe it doesn't all align yet, we have another bite at the apple on November 20th and yet another on December 11th. So, but our hope tonight is to get as far as we can on the outstanding remaining issues. And as you know, we have your team here to answer any questions you have and help you through if you need it. So with that as an overview, I'm going to turn over to Michael Olson, our finance director.
Thank you, Kurt. City Manager, good evening, Mayor, Madam Mayor, and council members. Before I jump into the preliminary budget, I thought I would announce a piece of good news. Our credit rating currently with Standard & Poor's is AAA, and Moody's before today was AA1. In the last couple of weeks, Moody has taken the opportunity to review our history and review our policies, and they announced today that we have moved to AAA with Moody's.
Excellent.
So now we are the top credit rating with both Moody's and Standard & Poor's.
Congratulations, Michael. Good work.
So good work for everybody. They noted that our fiscal policy and budgeting is most impressive and conservative, and we adhere to both of them, and we've been managing at a high level for a number of years and just wanted to recognize this. So kudos to the policy set, the direction, and the staff. So good news.
Absolutely. Kudos to everyone. Thank you.
The agenda tonight is to discuss the funding that has become available since the October 30th study session and the items that were brought up at that study session. In addition to the discussion on human services funding and getting council direction and the fiscal policy recommendations. This slide shows the funding that has become available since the October 30th council study session. There's $500,000, an unallocated year-ending balance that's available. The forecast for property tax assumed a 1% in growth in construction, and construction actually came in at 2.4%. So that provides additional ongoing revenue in property tax for the general fund for the biennium, just over $500,000. In the 2017-18 biennial budget, council had set aside over $130,000 for human services, and that has not been allocated yet, so that's still available for a council decision. And then there was the synchronizing the ball field additions capital improvement program project with the timing of that, and there are some additional savings that can be used.
So I just wanted to say a little bit about that last one. So that was an issue that Councilmember Pascal brought up at the big budget retreat. And when this was originally proposed, we were assuming a full year of maintenance for those two fields, and given what's going to happen, they're not going to actually go into effect till the fall of 19 or even early 20. So the amount up there is the savings in avoided maintenance costs, which we then place back for the council to figure out if you want to reallocate. So that was a great suggestion.
So a total of additional funding of just over $1.2 million. Of the discussion items from the October 30th meeting are listed there. General neighborhood planning, parks automation, and the various pieces that belong to each fund. Year-round park restrooms, management agenda, agenda management software, outside funding, and the Juanita Beach Playground. A total of just over $950,000 for the biennium. And then following this, we'll have discussion items regarding on human service. So I don't know if we want to discuss now or discuss all at the end.
Yeah, so what's the interest of the council? If you'd like, we can go to the next two slides, then come back.
If you come back, is that okay?
Everything's set, okay.
Yeah.
Yep.
Human services funding that was discussed at the November 7th meeting. Option B is already in the city manager's recommended budget. Option C was requested, and this would bring most of the recipients up to the 2018 levels, with the exception of those four listed there that would be somewhat under the 2018 funding.
This assumes option C funded at as recommended by the Human Services Commission, so just to be clear on that.
So a total increase of just over $970,000 for the biennium. Also created a slide of the agencies that came and requested additional funding at the public hearing on November 7th. And what this is HopeLink, and this is actually Catholic Community Services Volunteer Services. Very specific. I should have added that in the title. Imagine Housing and the Senior Council. This slide lists the funding for each of those organizations in 2018 and what is funded in option B for those organizations and what option C would bring them to. And then the column right next to 2018 is option C that's over the option B, but also for 2 years, because the Human Services Commission was only for 2019 and we fund a biennial budget. So I took the difference between B and C and just doubled it for each year so that we have a total 2-year comparison. And in addition to the Senior Council Service Package, which is a 2-year number for support.
Could you remind me what volunteer services are and what Senior Council is? I know what it is, but the service package they submitted?
Senior Council is the staff support that they requested.
Is that the one that was controversial?
That was the 0.25 program assistant request to provide additional support to the Senior Council. Yeah, that's what the Senior Council and the Youth Council spoke to. Mm-hmm.
And the Catholic Community Services Volunteer Services.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay.
That was the volunteers going into people's homes to do chores, run errands for them, do housework, yard work, that sort of thing, in order to keep them in their homes. And then they gave a specific example when they
So the volunteer services is for folks who are older or disabled and need help to be able to stay in their homes and not have to go into assisted living. And so Catholic Community Services gets volunteers to go in and do chores and run errands for them. And the person who was testifying talked about how that they've been able to discover abuse, financial abuse from, and then be able to report that. So kind of be eyes on the ground for them.
So then could you go back to the previous slide, Michael? So over 2017-18, we're talking about doing another $975,000 in human services funding.
That would be the total for option C.
If we do option C.
Yes.
And that's on the next slide.
As a 2-year number, though.
As an entire list of all the elements, I think there were 55. This is just for three of those plus the Senior Council, because the Senior Council is not part of the Human Services.
So the council should have at your dais. There's a list. It's the prioritized list that was recommended by the Human Services Commission for if you chose to do option B plus, then this is essentially their recommendation of the priority order. And if you did all of them, if you go to the end, you see there's $487,000 total. That's the half, and then you multiply that by two, and that's how you get to the 950.
Mr. Pascal?
I can understand your question, Madam Mayor. This slide is basically what we heard from the public at the
right.
last meeting. It's not necessarily related directly to option C or what we're talking about with the human services. It's the things that we specifically heard from when the public came up and
right.
spoke, which three of them happen to relate to the human services. The last one doesn't necessarily in terms of the option C.
Mm-hmm.
I would just for the senior council and for the youth council components. We heard a lot from several of our council members from both councils, and I would just like to learn a little bit more about how we support both.
Sure.
I heard a lot of information from them and read, you know, more information about from the service package request, but I think there's a little bit more there that I'd like to explore and understand before making a decision on which avenue to go. I value both councils greatly, and I just want to make sure that we're treating them both fairly, equally, respecting the value that they're both bringing to both the city and to their respective constituents, the youth and the seniors. So.
Can you remind us how many staff are working for each right now?
Just take that, yeah, I can. Go ahead.
So, Reggie Schuberger mm-hmm. Staffs both the youth council and the senior council right now.
Mm-hmm.
And
is that a full-time position?
It is, yes, she is full-time. She used to just have youth services more broadly, and then the senior council was added to her plate. And so there, she has been spending some of her time, and she's also she's now under the Human Services Division, and so she's also supporting Human Services at a regional level as well.
Thank you. Mr. Asher? Oh, Mr. Nixon, then Mr. Asher. Mr. Nixon.
So, a couple different questions. So, is Reggie actually, she was funded, I thought, like 100% youth services, and the senior council was kind of just added workload but not actually budgeted for that purpose. Is that right? And do we know about how much of her time is actually divided between those now?
Somewhere between 10 and 15% for the senior council.
And there seemed to be a lot of concern from the youth council, current and former members, that if she was officially given the senior council as the 25% FTE, that would actually result in a reduction in what the youth council was able to do. Do we actually think that that would happen?
We have identified a couple of activities that they do that weren't ever, that were kind of added to their workload, but they were not funded. And so we feel like there's been some creep in terms of the level of service of activities the youth council does. So we feel like we can cut back on a couple of items without hurting them as a whole. If that makes sense.
Yeah, I guess what I'm just trying to understand is whether this this service package really needs to be as much money as we're talking about. Are we actually going to hire somebody else to do that 25%, or is it really going to end up being the same person who's doing it now?
If the service package would have been included in the budget, we would have been hiring someone to do that 0.25.
So if we add it now, we'd be hiring somebody quarter time?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I had another question, but I've forgotten what it is. So it was on something having to do with one of these other slides. Oh, no, it's on this one, actually. The volunteer services. These are volunteers, so why is there a cost? Are we talking about a portion of the cost of a staff person who organizes those volunteers?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. I think they get reimbursed, I think, for some mileage from driving. But, yes, I would say it's the coordinator, the person who has to coordinate and interview people to be to both receive the services as well as to provide the services.
And given this is a relatively small amount of money, I'm assuming that one person covers several different cities.
Correct.
Okay. Thanks.
Thanks, Mr. Asher.
Yeah, it seems to me that the Catholic Community Services, volunteer services, is a highly leveraged and very minor part. The question I had in my mind from the testimony last time is the youth council topic was addressed as by a number of people that spoke as reductions. What is being, what do we expect to be reduced with the proposal where one person does the youth services and the senior council?
So I'll take that. We didn't decide exactly what would happen. Obviously, I did not propose this as the service package request. So the way the service package was written, the most straightforward was to reallocate time at the Youth Services Commission. What I sent to you and I gave you an update, and what I sent to the youth services folks who wrote to us is there's a lot of other ways we could look at that. And we haven't actually had a chance to sit down and really think through that. So the simplest is no additional services to the senior council. So the proposal for them was an addition. It wasn't a takeaway. So you could just leave status quo. If you wanted to provide additional services to the senior council, something would have to shift. But what would shift, and whether it's from the youth council and whether it would have a material impact on them, I think we still need to do some work on that.
I value that the senior council wants to expand what they're accomplishing. But at the same time, and the way I phrase my question is I have difficulty understanding a full-time FTE for the youth council.
Yep.
And that's what I was asking about is tell me what would be reduced. Have we proposed anything, or is it perception?
We have not proposed anything. So what we would need to do is sit down with the youth council and say, if we shifted additional time from Reggie's time, what would be the impact and how would we address it? So, for example, you could make a decision, a big decision, like don't do the youth summit. That would be a big one and probably not necessary. Or you could make a lot of smaller decisions, like there's a few other things that maybe you shouldn't be doing that you've chosen to do. And there might even be ways to say, this is a pretty smart, empowered group of kids. Could you do what you're doing and do it more effectively and not have to have as much resource? So I think there's a lot of different ways that we can answer that. If we moved some of Reggie's time, we would have to figure that out. But it's not doesn't necessarily follow that's a significant drop-off in what they can do.
I'm not sure I would suggest sitting down with the youth council and ask them what they would reduce. I would think that there may be some efficiencies here in able to looking sure. at the things that are enumerated are being accomplished, that they can be accomplished with one FTE with both the senior council and with the youth council. Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Sweet, then Mr. Paschal, and Mr. Arnold.
I mean, it sounds to me like one of the things that you were thinking about when you decided not to move forward the service package was that you could do exactly what it is you're describing. Mm-hmm. So it feels to me like we should actually give that a shot before proceeding with hiring an additional FTE and everything that's involved in that. And whether it be Reggie or whether it be senior center staff or whether it be, you know, however it is supported, that's what I figure you would probably be looking.
It could be on call. There's a variety of ways we might get at that.
Great.
Mr. Paschal and Mr. Arnold.
Yeah, I think you're hearing, I think what my fellow colleagues have expressed is what I was asking for at the very beginning when I spoke, wanting to understand how we're using the time and the resources currently, and if we can be more strategic and efficient and accomplish all the goals that we seek, right? That's what I'm looking for, and I don't feel like as a council member I have that information, like how are we most effectively using what we have. And, you know, this is a discussion we're having with the senior council and youth council resources, but, you know, obviously this discussion could be for many different topics in the city, but it just so happens that we heard from both councils about this, and I think it's worthy to look further at before we, you know, allocate additional funding. But, so, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Arnold.
The senior council and the youth council both are doing amazing work, and my first thought is to continue with the status quo. But as we're looking at potential changes, in addition to the information my colleagues are asking for, I'm a little unclear on the details of what the senior council is asking for. If you look at the details of the service package, they're talking about wanting some staff support to ensure that they receive education on from subject matter experts on different topics. And a lot of what we heard in public testimony was about advocacy. And I'm not sure that to the level we want to be, or if advocacy is the top that we want to be supporting, and it's unclear from this description what the presentations that they're looking for are from subject matter experts. And I'm wondering if you have any more details on that or could prepare it. Thank you.
So I'm going to go ahead and clarify that this was not a request of the senior council. We've been, I've been fielding some concerns from senior council members about their support level and their relationship with the city council. And so this service package was a way to address those concerns. Because I've, you know, I have heard comments about the appreciation for the advice that they do give to city council and maybe looking for more of that, I was looking at wanting to make sure that they were getting educated about important issues that they could then report back to you. And so in that description that I included in there was kind of what we as staff saw as particular value for the senior council and moving them in that direction.
And that's very similar to like what we did with the Human Services Commission, for example, when they got a briefing on legal services, which ended up influencing their recommendation to put more legal services in the grants.
Okay. I think we have what we need there.
This slide and the previous two are the financial discussion input that we're seeking from council tonight following the discussion of human services and the October 30th funding discussion items as we move on to fiscal policies. So I don't know if there is more discussion or...
Yeah.
So should we move through these items? Okay.
That'd be my recommendation.
Okay. Who wants to start with general neighborhood planning, perhaps? Yes, sir.
Oh,
or no, whichever. Yeah,
I'm just going to kind of jump right in, okay. I guess. So, what I'm really interested in seeing out of these topics, I put together a little spreadsheet because I like
spreadsheets.
Some numbers. Not necessarily spreadsheets. I like some numbers. One thing that I really want to see included in the budget this year is the Juanita Beach Playground. And I noticed the cost is a little bit higher than what we had seen previously. But city manager provided some background in terms of how that was developed. And I think that makes a lot of sense. I think we want to provide a universal design so that all kids of all ages and abilities can use the playground. And I think it's something that we have to fully fund as a city. So I would like to see that included. I'm really interested in focusing on things that are investing in the city that, you know, that we're not going to have to necessarily cut in 2 years. So I'm really looking at those things that take us further into the future. I think things like the meeting packet software, that's something that seems like that's something that would be worthy of consideration. That's a cost that's going to continue, and if we can get some efficiencies and provide the public better access to information that goes on with council. That seems like a good investment. I have general concerns just about the park's automation and the year-round park restrooms. I think what we have to recognize with the year-round park restrooms is that's going to be an ongoing cost, and that's going to be difficult to sustain. And I think that would be nice, but we do have to realize that we do provide, Johnny cans or
right. Honey buckets.
Honey buckets. Yeah. That's right. It there for those parks that don't have that, where we close the restrooms during the winter months. And so it's not like there isn't anything. Those aren't necessarily the greatest substitute, but nonetheless, there is something there in the meantime. So I would love to see those funded year round, but I'm concerned that that would be difficult to sustain going forward. And then the parks automation, I don't feel like I have enough information about that to really warrant the investment. I think in theory that when you talk about automation, that makes a lot of sense just when you say the word. But when it comes to practicality of how that actually works on the ground and will work over time and how we maintain it, I don't have enough information to say, hey, that's a really worthwhile investment. Let's do that. Those are kind of my general thoughts on some of the topics so far.
Thanks for taking the lead on that. Others? Mr. Arnold?
So first I want to make a pitch for the general neighborhood planning. This is something that I had asked for. With our central business district downtown, we talk about Totem Lake, but as our designated urban center by PSRC, but actually given all the growth we've seen downtown meets the criteria to be designated as an urban center, and we'll be talking about that likely next year as part of the planning work program. And as part of looking at that Moss Bay neighborhood plan potentially designated downtown as an urban center, which would help qualify it for transportation investments within the region, I do think that the neighborhood planning studies that were mentioned in the service package are going to be an important thing to go do. And I think the $30,000 that we spend there is an investment that will be towards the themes that we have done elsewhere in the budget of preparing for growth. I too share Councilmember Pascoe's questions about parks automation. Generally, I do think some of our service packages with one-time money should be used to build capacity for operations, but I'm not sure that we have that kind of benefit yet. And given our discussion at the budget retreat, there were a lot of really good questions about how would this work and what would it save. The Juanita Beach Playground is something that I would like to see if we could do. It's the lowest priority on my list, but as we're refreshing everything else there and as we have a CIP project elsewhere in the budget to start refreshing playgrounds, it probably been something that we should include in this. Finally, when we look at human services, I would encourage us all to not to spend every last dollar of available funding that Michael and the team have identified. I would be in favor of making an additional contribution to the annexation sales tax credit reserve. Every contribution we make to that reserve not only helps us when we get to the budget 2 years from now, but is also something avoids a potential cut, which I very much worry about the tough decisions we're going to be facing 2 years from now. Thank you.
Thank you. Others, Mr. Nixon and Ms. Sweet.
So, thoughts on these things. I agree with my colleagues about the parks automation. I'm intrigued by it, but I don't think I have enough information yet, and I really would like to discuss it more in the parks committee. I also think the restrooms would be a nice to have But I want, before we commit to it long term, I would want to see how the budget settles out a couple years from now. I'm completely enamored with the meeting packet and agenda management software, but I don't think it's a super high priority right now. I would like us to see the added funding for the 4th of July and Winterfest and the summer concert series, because it's been a while since those numbers were adjusted, and I think that we get a great deal of value out of that in terms of community building from all of those events. And I support the replacing the playground equipment at Juanita Beach. Be nice to see if we could do it for less than what's proposed here, but to do something. And then my thinking on the human services funding is not to do all of option C, but also not to just draw a line at some number. My thinking is that we do the ones in bold. All the ones that are not bolded are kind of new programs. All the ones in bold are a continuation of previous commitments that we have made. And I went through and did the math, and doing just the ones in bold ends up being $315,000 there about a year. So $630,000 over 2 years. And that compares to the full option C, which is $487,000. So 315 instead of 487. And then that gets us to where the programs that have been dependent on our funding in the past would still be receiving that. And a lot of them are related to the primary priorities that the Human Services Commission suggested. So that would be at least one proposal for how to deal with that without funding the entirety of option C.
Thank you, Ms. Sweet, then Mr. Asher.
Okay, sort of following the theme, I think Jay's point about downtown as an urban center is a really important one. I wish we could make that number a little bit smaller, but not sure what it would take. I mean, it's ours, right? Or it's not an FTE, so not exactly sure what that is. I'm generally supportive of moving forward with the concept of sort of building that case, but not sure where that fits. Parks automation, I have too many questions as well. And park restrooms, I think it's not a good time to add FTEs, so I would pass on that one for now. And I didn't know we did honey buckets and all those, so that's good to know. The meeting packet agenda software, I sympathize with Toby, but I just think it's not a priority. In terms of the Juanita Beach Playground, I would like to move forward with that, but I would really hope there's a way to, I don't know, I don't want to value engineer all the good stuff out of it. That's happened to me too many times. But I don't know how much money I'm talking about right here. My general consensus in terms of the human services stuff was initially to go with just an additional level, $500,000. But I like the strategy that Toby has put before us, so I'd be willing to support going ahead with that. I also like Jay's suggestion that anything we have left over should go into reserves, any kind of reserves, but perhaps the annexation sales tax is the most appropriate. I'm going to recuse myself from the events once since I run two of them, so...
Mr. Nixon, and then we'll go to Mr.
Is there a way we can put a spreadsheet up on the screen that shows the amount of money we have available and then things we're agreeing to?
We actually had thought we were going to try to do that, and we actually were trying to play with it, and we couldn't get both to go up at the same time. But Tom actually has been doing the spreadsheet, and he can actually give you an update based on what you've talked about so far.
That'd be great.
Once everyone has had a chance to speak.
Yeah.
Mr. Asher.
Thank you. Can you remind us the difference between option C and all of the requests received? Option C are the prioritized ones recommended by the Human Services Commission. Is that correct?
That's correct. There's about $2 million per year requested. So right. There's a considerable number of folks who are not even on Option C.
Right. And the available funding that you have on the current display in the upper part more than covers Option C. Is that correct?
It does.
Okay. There are quite a number of housing and housing-related issues in the unbolded priority 31 through 55 that we might learn about some effectiveness if we funded them by checking the results and what they're able to achieve. And I'm interested in these years of plenty, trying to fund those. They have been evaluated. They have been prioritized, not as highly as those that are currently funded. I understand that. But I'd like, during this time, for us to see what we can do to do that. So I would spend the money on at least those that are related or in preparation, assistance for housing and preventing homelessness.
So would you mind maybe identifying the ones you're looking at? You're saying 31 through 35?
That. Staff can go through and do that as long as we have enough money to be able to accomplish the entirety of the set, then we can do a subset of that, which would be a lesser number.
Well, just as an example, the 32 is 28,000 for LifeWire, which is Survivor Advocacy Services. So I just want to make sure if we did propose a subset back to you, we're not missing what you wanted to make sure was captured.
Yeah, I'm talking about housing related.
Anything related to housing and
homelessness, folks in homelessness. Okay. And housing preparation. There's one here that's loosely worded, housing readiness workshop series for adults with intellectual development disabilities. That, in my mind, would qualify.
Yeah, maybe Mr. Asher could make some check marks and get with Leslie afterwards just to clarify. That would be helpful. Okay, Mr. Paschal.
Yeah, just for sake of clarity, I want to summarize kind of what I've heard so far and kind of what I feel. So neighborhood planning, $30,000 for the two-year cycle. Event funding, $35,000 for the two-year cycle. Juanita Playground, $366,000. And then human services, somewhere between option B and option C, which would be roughly around $630,000, $315,000 a year, or two-thirds of option C is another way of looking at it, pretty much. That gets us to about $1,050,000, which is about $200,000 below the available funding that we have at 1.26. That $200,000, what I'm hearing is either we look at investing in additional human resources, human services, or pushing it to reserves. So I think that's kind of where I'm at, and we can kind of have that further discussion, but that's generally what I'm hearing.
Our numbers match yours.
And you guys haven't heard from me yet.
I know.
We haven't finished hearing and weren't sure whether to add the management agenda management software or not in that.
I said event funding for $35,000, yes.
So I'm okay with the general neighborhood planning. Juanita Beach Park, unless I missed it, I did ask for a list of the replacement cycle of playground equipment for the whole city. Just if we're going to do a queue jump, I want to know what trade-off is.
We do owe you that.
And I definitely don't want it just to be based on age. It should be on usage. So, you know, our more used parks would get more. So I think that we're not deciding that tonight, but we're going to get more information about that one still, I'm hoping. Yeah, I just want to be able to show people that we didn't just pick a pet project and move it forward. Honestly, my philosophy right now is Starbucks is laying off people. Amazon has got its dual headquarters not here. They're predicting at least at the end of the boom or in 2020. We have annexation sales tax credit. I would take all of this money and save it, honestly. I am super conservative at this point because I am very worried about the budget in the upcoming years. So I am cautiously okay with Juanita Beach, but again, I need that other information. The meeting packet software, no parks, no restrooms, no events. Yes, it's minor and gives a lot of bang for the buck. Human services, I feel that we made a decision to go with an advisory group, and that is what they recommended. I know that they would recommend, you know, millions of dollars, but we need to stay somewhere within the realm of what we did last year. So I'm option B. I think my colleagues are option B plus 315,000. It sounds like. I just feel like all of the leftover money should be put into reserves right now. I'm concerned about our future. So, again, the Juanita Beach is, I'm okay with that as long as I see where something else is being bumped, you know, and why. So, I think that you have a basic consensus. I think everybody's okay with the Toby Nixon, I'll call it, human services, plus bolded, pending Mr. Asher's weighing in. Maybe, do we get another bite at the apple
right of
this?
So, maybe, Tom, if you can give us a restatement of everything that's not human services and how much money we have left, because I do think there's some clarification we need on the bold versus the additional and how far the council wants to go, and also maybe reserving some.
Good evening, council. So with everything, with the available resources, net general neighborhood planning, Juanita Beach Playground, and the additional events funding, there's $836,932 left.
Okay, so then, but that's a two-year period, right? So basically it's $418,000 per year, right?
On average, yes.
On average, yes. Okay, so I think it's worth, and I don't know if you want to do a motion or whether you want to talk about it again, but the...
Well, can I ask another question about human services? And that is about how it relates to Prop 1. So we just did a Prop 1.
Right.
How is that going to...
So the Prop 1 numbers are not in any of this.
Okay.
So there are additional block grant monies that are available. The council hasn't, while we've sort of described them categorically, we haven't yet decided how we'd allocate them.
Mm-hmm.
Although my guess is likely we'd go back to the Human Services Commission, but that's right. Still a conversation we have to have.
So that could be some of their extra revenue that they could apply to some other things that they didn't choose to fund in Option B. That would be a possibility.
But I haven't given them that leeway.
Right. We would need to look at the outcomes we want to achieve. Like, for example, we talked about suicide prevention or domestic violence. Mm-hmm. So we'd need to give them sort of parameters about what could happen with that money. So,
but those revenues will bounce up our per capita contribution by some percentage, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. We haven't calculated that yet, but we can. So I think then for the roughly $418,000 per year, the question was, and I don't know, maybe we want to do it in a motion or something, but Councilor Nixon has proposed just fund everything on this list that's been bold as a starting point, but I've heard a few others say a few variations.
Let's make sure we're all looking at the same list.
What's that? Is it this one?
No, it's the one that says prioritize list.
Okay.
So this was slightly different. We tried to make it helpful. So Leslie Miller did this for us and bolded ones that received funding last time.
And this is annual amounts, right?
This is annual amounts.
So the Human Services Commission had the information about what we funded last time.
Yes. So that's the point I wanted to emphasize,
right,
is that if it's not bolded, that was a deliberate choice by the Human Services Commission to prioritize these new programs over previous existing programs up to whatever level you want to go.
That was what we asked them to do and created them to do.
But to be clear, they prioritized the ones in option A and B as new programs over these.
Mm-hmm.
But if you look at this chart, they prioritized all of the bold ones over everything from item 32 and beyond. Nothing from 32 on.
That's correct.
Bold. That's
correct.
As additional, if we went to option C.
Right. If we went to option C. So all I'm suggesting is if we want to do B plus, one simple way to do that would just be to take everything that's in bold, which would be most of what's from 31 and below, with the exception of 5, 7, and 17. I think are the only ones that are not bolded. Oh, and 21.
Mm-hmm. Which is 10, 20, 25. Depending on how far you want to go. So 31, that'd be $31,000 if you chose to fund the non-bolded.
Right, and so that's where my number comes from, right? If you look at 31, the running total for it is 346. Mm-hmm. And if you take out the non-bolded ones, it becomes 315. So that's the 31,000 that you just mentioned. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the ones I found that looked like housing, 62,000.
Which numbers are those?
34, 36, 38, I couldn't tell, so I included it. 40, 41, 43, 44, 45, 46, 50, 52, 55, I couldn't tell. I didn't include it, I don't think.
City manager?
No, I did include it.
Go ahead.
We checked off those numbers. Do you want to know which ones are more specifically tied to housing or what they are?
Sure.
I came up with a little bit of a different list than you did.
Huh? Pardon?
I said I came up with a little bit of a different list than you did.
I knew you would. So.
So.
What's your number total to?
So my total was 45,500, and you had mentioned housing and homelessness prevention.
Yeah.
And so I checked off the community homes. Congregations for the homeless.
I'll accept your number, 45,000. That's where I started from. Pardon? Yeah, that's a one-year number. Right.
Leslie, could you actually just call out which numbers those were, just for our benefit? I'd like to know.
Sure. So it's number 34, number 36, number 43, and number 42, one that he didn't mention was 42, 43, 44, 45, 46, 46. And then the other one that wasn't listed was going back to number 5, Attain Housing.
Mm-hmm.
That program is specifically for preventing homelessness and helping people get into housing. And so they had recommended adding to that program.
Okay. Thank you. You just introduced budget efficiency.
Mm-hmm. So is the council generally supportive of that, or do we want to go through each of those?
I get a bit worried that this is us choosing winners and losers rather than relying on the commission that we created, creating the prioritization.
They gave us a recommendation that we're focusing on. Mm-hmm.
Sorry. Mr. Arnold.
Yeah, I would agree with the mayor on this one. I like Mr. Asher's focus on housing, but I would much rather do 1 through 31 plus the additional ones that Leslie has mentioned that are housing focused. That way we're capturing the Human Services Commission's recommendations and any synergies or nuance that we might not appreciating why they've got some of these higher ranked new programs.
So fully fund 1 through 31, then plus the housing ones. That's your suggestion.
That would be my proposal.
So then where does that put us on between option B and C?
We need to add real quick.
It's a B plus.
Tom, are you adding?
The B, it's definitely a B plus, right?
Plus the $1 million in housing from Prop 1.
I need to figure out.
Or 100,000. Million.
Yeah.
The
yeah.
zeros in that thing were kind
of. Yeah. Could you go back
but
to
that's the that's designated specifically for the shelter.
Oh, I know.
And
again,
not during year one.
Okay.
I think there's a portion of it, isn't there?
To just want to check in. So generally, you seem to be getting along well on this, but we could move to a formal motion process if you need to. But at the moment, it sounds like there at least no one's objecting to what the deputy mayor has put forward as a concept. So are we okay with that as being?
Where does option B start for stop? Can you just help me understand that this bolded thing?
So option B stops before number one. So all of this is an addition to option B.
Okay. So I'll be voting no.
No, it's. It's not
so
totally clear.
The total, if you add the bolded ones plus the ones mentioned for housing, the 45.5 for 2 years, leaves 115,000
per year
out of the available resources for the biennium.
Did that include the new ones as well that Councilman?
Yeah, the 45.5.
I would have to capture the deputy mayor's suggestion, which was fund everything from 1 to 31.
Oh, 1 to 31. Okay.
Yeah, I think to do the deputy mayor's suggestion, you need to take the running total that's at 31, which is 346, 337, and then add in numbers 34, 36, mm-hmm. and 42 through 46.
And then if you could just help me by when you get your math done, going back to the previous slide or whichever the one is about human services and tell me where we are compared to that
Absolutely.
Slide.
Question.
Yes, sir.
The last time I suggested that during year two, when we have our shelter operating, that we would need some additional services for on-demand mental health and on-demand substance use disorder.
Mm-hmm.
That's not in the current mix. So if we're going to biennialize, I think we need to biennialize with some slop in it for some additional services for that second year. And maybe we use part of the money out of Prop 1 that is operating money for year one that we won't use. Maybe that gives us the latitude that we would need in year two for some of that.
I think certainly that, and then I was, you know, also there's certainly always money that develops in the first year that in the general fund and under expenditures and so forth, so we could easily make sure we...
Oh, you're expecting everything to keep going as mm-hmm. booming as it is. Okay.
So the items 1 through 31 plus the housing items discussed leaves just over 73,000 in the biennium. Told that.
Yes, John.
Oh, sorry. So, City Manager, you were asking kind of for a motion or for kind of consensus on where we're direction. I personally would like on the 20th to come back with a couple options. One would, as the mayor suggests, just option B through option B, and then another option as suggested. And then we can kind of, I mean, in my mind, I would like to discuss that.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
I do too.
But yeah, before we do a motion, let's go to Tracy, and then if we could go back to that slide when you all are ready.
I just wanted to clarify that in what we're assuming for the shelter, we don't have any in the first year because mm-hmm. we don't get all the revenue in the first year. We only have it in the second year, and so there isn't any assumed right now that would carry forward. I know
the shelter won't be built in 18.
The shelter won't be built in 19, but there's no funding in there for 19 either.
Okay.
But we won't receive zero in year one.
No, but if you were to do all the police hiring, you don't have any left to do any of the other pieces.
Okay. And you got to go find some money.
Right.
Right.
There's other ways.
Pretty much. Yeah. Yes.
Okay. Good to go.
So, Michael, there was a slide, and it said human services funding in 20. That's it. So we did 1.8 million, and then now option B is how much?
Option B is built into that budget, the 2019-2020 yeah. preliminary budget.
1.813.
So it's 1.813, yes.
And then, so what's this new option cost?
So what's the half to the annual number?
The annual number is 381,837. So the biennial number is 763,674.
Okay. Thank you. Yeah, I'd love to see options. I already stated my reasons for just supporting option B. I also have a hard time going out to the public and asking them to vote for Prop 1 and then increasing a budget this much, you know?
Yeah, I would like to see that those options incorporate assumptions for Prop B or for Prop 1, if we can do that.
Well, I'm not sure how you'd want to do that. I could tell you how much money you might become available, but...
Specifically for human services.
Mm-hmm. So, well, this sort of builds a little bit on what Tracy was saying. So the in the proposition itself, there was an assumption it was $350,000 for human services plus another $100,000 for direct allocation to the shelter. So $450,000 each year for human services. So that's what would be, quote-unquote, available. But because in the first year it doesn't start until April 1st, we don't have a full year. And then we know we also have to front-load all of the police officer positions, although getting 9 police officers hired at the beginning of the year is also probably not going to happen, so there might be a little bit of room. But basically, if you had a full year's worth of funding, you'd have the $100,000 to the shelter and $350,000 more for related human services, but they would be for prevention, you know, suicide prevention, mental health, youth counseling, all the categories we talked about. So many of these things would be the kinds of things you'd fund, but they're not automatically... things that you'd fund. It wouldn't automatically fund the deficit here with those.
So. Okay.
So is it possible to bring it back with options?
Yes, of course.
The next
course.
Meeting?
Yeah.
Just sounds like a couple of options. You need more direction than that?
I think we're good. We'll okay. bring that back next Tuesday, the study session.
Thank you.
Would it be reasonable to say that for the options... How do I phrase this intelligently? If we come back with option B,
Mayor's
there will be money left on the table. Put it into reserves.
Yeah.
Like to say
yes.
We would reserve the rest. Okay, so what to do with the leftover money? Could be.
Annexation or whichever okay.
so
reserve.
To say we'd be reserving the rest.
Yep.
Great. Just two last things to highlight that would be more likely to be first quarter of next year, but I want to get them on your radar screen because they'll probably come out of the city work program. One is the station area planning that the council has talked about. We have not put that in the budget. It's a thing that came in after we did it, but I think it's the kind of thing we would really need to go in. We haven't scoped very well. It could be as much as $500,000. It could be a lot less. It depends, but this is to look at the Costco and Lee Johnson site and how all that works with the bus rapid transit station. So that would be a work program. Might not be a big item, but we'd come to you with a full funding recommendation. So I don't think you need to reserve any money here for that, but I just want you to know that something like that is coming. The other piece that I'm also evaluating right now is, given the email fritzing, I think is the official term, we have been doing a lot of work with the leadership team of IT and Tracy and I on how do we assess the infrastructure of IT to make sure we've now had a couple systems that have been impacted. And we know we were planning for this already. That's why we're replacing the financial system. That's why we're moving to the cloud. But as we've assessed what we can do in 2019, it may be that we need some additional IT resources to keep ourselves structurally stable during this period of transition. So, again, nothing to bring to you right now, but it's something that we're evaluating at the same time, but that would be something we'd find money for as well.
that be after we get an after action on?
Yeah. Yeah, we're assessing all of that.
Problems we've had.
The team's been doing a lot of really great work on figuring that out. So.
Thank you.
Mr. Nixon?
We have a handout at our places. It's a photograph archival services agreement. Do you know what that's about?
Oh. I assume that's, is that the Heritage Society document? No. So there was no public testimony tonight, but Louita Hawkins from the Heritage Society had come. She can come at the next meeting as well and testify, but continues to be interested in the City Council making some sort of allocation to the Heritage Society. And so I believe this was to show that that has happened in the past. I know she also has a PowerPoint that she'd like to show you on next Tuesday. The request is somewhere in the neighborhood of $2,000 or so for utilities, but we've been asking that that get written down and presented so the council can evaluate it.
Okay.
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 You are ready for policy?
I think so. Thank you.
Thank you. Every 2 years when the biennial budget is approved, it gives the council an opportunity to review and affirm the fiscal policies for the city. And we have three items before you today to get some input and some feedback on. One is clarifying the approval for expenditures out of the reserve accounts. Also setting the target level for the contingency fund. And then discussing a payback and target level for the general capital contingency fund. And we'll just focus on each one of those one at a time. For the current wording on use of reserves, says all expenditures drawn from reserve accounts shall require prior council approval unless previously authorized by the City Council for expenditures in the biennial budget or otherwise provided by city policies. Now, council approves all of the reserve spending at the biennial budget. And in practice, it is only the general purpose reserves that we come back to the council for. And this slide lists the six general purpose reserves. the city actually has nearly 50 reserves in a variety of funds, utility funds, special revenue funds, internal service funds. And those reserves come in and out. But anytime those would be used, it would have to be budgeted use of those reserve funds. And so this just, the underline is the addition in the proposed wording that all expenditures drawn from the general purpose reserves shall require prior council approval. And general purpose reserves include the following as listed below and described in the reserve purposes and targets section. Yes. In the quarterly report, the financial management report, that's where you can see all almost 50, 47 plus reserve funds. So we report on them on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if there's any questions on this particular recommended change to the fiscal policies.
Any questions on this? Mr. Pascal?
I just had a question when I was looking at the reserve policy. So, however, the city we give authority to city manager to use reserve funds, the general reserve funds, up to $100,000 a year. Is that right? So we're not taking that away.
No.
It's just if it's over $100,000, right, then that's when you come to. Is that correct?
I think it's.
I don't think that's only for capital.
Right,
projects. That's only capital projects. It's $25,000 a project and $100,000 a year. So it's in the capital category.
Okay, so it's only
capital.
So
the other uses all come back to you in these reserves.
Okay, thank you.
Any other comments? Looks like everybody's okay with that.
Okay, thank you. The next one is the contingency fund target level. Our target level is linked to assessed value and 37.5 cents per thousand of assessed valuation in the city. So the target level grows as the assessed valuation of Kirkland increases. And in fact, next year it's increasing over almost 16% in value. So that brings the target up higher. And this requires continuing in this NOTA policy will require additional additions to the reserves in future years past 2021. As we can see, we're going to be end of this biennium just about $1.3 million under target based on the assessed valuation. So the recommendation is to set a target balance that has measured growth. The contingency fund is used for catastrophic disaster and keeping government operations running. And if we set a targeted specific growth, whether it be, we've recommended in here the CPIW by inflation, it can be another fixed amount or fixed rate, but we choose the lower of 80% of the statutory maximum or the budgeted 2020 year-end balance plus inflation, so that we would continue to grow the contingency fund, but just at a more measured pace.
Questions or comments on this one? Makes sense to me. Mr. Asher.
Yeah, I disagree with this one. Yeah. Yeah.
Mike.
I do like the measured approach, because it feels to me like we're punishing ourselves twice. Mm-hmm. For the outrageous assessed values that are going on right now.
Others? Mr. Arnold.
So you mentioned that this is generally used in for kind of a disaster response, and for the contingency. And I'm wondering about the inflator on how much of a disaster response is just keeping the city running, which this represents, I don't know, a couple of months of being able to continue to meet payroll. Or should we be looking at this as building things where we should use an inflator that's more related to capital costs? And wondering what you see the purpose of this to be more towards?
Well, we currently have the, these are all the general purpose reserves up on the slide. At the estimated 2018 ending balance is just over $20 million, and our policy is at 1% per year, so we'll end up at 22. But to answer your question, it can be used for whatever purpose the city deems is most important. We have reserves for revenue stabilization and rainy day reserves that can be used. This is just an addition to those.
Mm-hmm. Actually, I had this conversation with Moody's, which is you can use any of these in an emergency for what you need them for. These are their primary duties, but you could also reallocate. So the way we look at the contingency is primarily keeping things operating out as a major reconstruction fund. But that doesn't mean you can't use it to build something if you had to. But what we could do, if you'd like, is we could see if we could think of a couple other indexes, maybe one or two, that you could evaluate when we come back at the next meeting.
Tracy? Just,
I think slightly interesting, the current finance director and both the prior finance directors, mm-hmm. This hasn't actually been tapped in our collective memory. We've used all the other reserves but this, and so that's why it's sort of, I think, been viewed as being for a major dislocation like a earthquake or something like that. All the rest of them have been exercised at some point, but in at least the past almost 30 years, we can't think of a time that we've actually tapped this one.
Thank you. And I was wondering if Mr. Asher might expand a little bit on his disagreement on this. Is it just, would you stick with the current continue to fund based on assessed value?
Sure, I fundamentally disagree with the 80% funding level. So that's sort of the foundation. When we need, if we have a major disaster, I see these as being the resources available to the community. We're going to need these and more, significantly more, to be able to reconstitute our operations, I think, because we will be needed as the core of what this community is going to do to recover. So that's, more is better in this scenario, and that's why I have disagreed with the reductions we've made of reserve levels.
Mr. Nixon?
So we opened the meeting tonight talking about an improvement in our credit rating. Would any of these policy changes have any risk of an impact on our credit rating?
Not currently. They recognize that we have healthy reserves right now. It depends on what happens in the future and how we use these reserves.
So are you saying they don't look at the policies and they only look at how we, whether we follow our own policies?
They do look at the policies, and they reviewed all of the fiscal policies. They also review our annual financial statements and see where we are at the end of the year with fund balances and how. And they've also read the preliminary budget to see what our direction is and how we're going to replenish those reserves and what we're doing going forward. So all of those factors were considered.
Okay.
So is this sort of a... I remember when we had depleted everything, when I first got on the council, everything was, you know, not maybe the contingency, but a lot of reserves had been spent down. And then we had these aggressive policies to replenish. And so isn't this kind of an adjustment of that because we're getting to where we need to be?
Well, as a city manager, not one of the finance directors, I'd say if it wasn't for that top one, we'd be done. But it keeps moving on us. Right. Mm-hmm. So yeah, we would have hit the targets that we set out way back when in 2011-12. Mm-hmm. So we have almost achieved it. So so that's why and we're trying to recalibrate and say, do you want to have that one continue to sort of float off in the horizon based on assessed value or not?
Right. I think assessed value... it's not the only measure of what would be needed if there were a major disaster. I mean, the two sort of don't go together, in my opinion. I also worry about giant reserves out there because that creates another set of problems. So I'm comfortable with this. Are you talking about bringing this back as a policy change that we'd adopt in
It would come
December?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, other questions on this one? Basically, I have... maybe if others have questions, they could follow up after, but it sounds like in general we have a consensus around being okay with this one.
Okay. That is the second of the three. The third one is the general capital contingency that is covers for capital projects that we use. And we just recently, you recently approved a couple planned uses of this general capital contingency reserve, one for the Office Max property purchase and then slated for tenant improvements in the next year. So currently our balance is below the target in the policy. So staff is recommending that we reschedule payment over the next 10 years beginning in 2021 and that the scheduled amount of payment be included as part of the balance in progress towards the target. So the target balance would be 10% of CIP less utilities. We also recommend that we exclude debt proceeds because we're looking at issuing debt in the next 2 years and that would actually raise the target level for that fund as well.
What kind of money can be used to pay this back?
It's
just general fund, right?
General fund money.
Only general fund?
Real estate excise tax, too.
Yeah. Real estate excise tax?
Restricted fund.
Yeah. We already built in the other unrestricted revenues, so we're using impact fees. We're using, to the extent that we could legally, in the whole project.
Okay. Thank you. Other questions?
No, any questions?
Any questions?
Okay.
Yeah. Thank you.
So the next slide is just a reminder of the upcoming budget discussions next Tuesday in the study session. And in the regular meeting, there will be two public hearings and the preliminary property tax levy ordinance. And then adoption at the December 11th meeting of the 1920 budget, the 1924 CIP. Any other items?
Any other items, Council? Mr. Pascal.
I just was curious, do we get to see the CIP updates before December 11th, or is that going to be?
Yeah, in fact, that's one of the things I was just going to ask you about. So it's in the packet for November 20th. There's an update with our proposed changes, and the council give final direction, then we bring the final back on December 11th. Okay. So one of the things I was going to suggest is we have the budget update as a normal council meeting element in the evening. And I think we're fairly close with a couple issues for the study sessions on the budget, and maybe we can bring the CIP into the study session so you can talk a little bit more at length about that, and then it would also take it off the full council agenda item for the evening.
Sound good? Mm-hmm. Sounds good.
And Thursday, you'll be getting your packet for that, so you'll have the background for the CIP update.
Okay, sounds like a plan. Any other questions? Are we getting ready to go to adjournment, or do you
believe
have more?
So? Yes.
We are getting ready to go to adjournment?
You can stay. Yeah.
I guessed 8, so we can wait 45 minutes if you
No, that's all right. Okay, if nobody else has any other comments, I just want to acknowledge, I don't know how many people are watching this special study session on the budget, but our colleague and friend Eric Shields is home right now with a severe decline in his health, and wanted to thank his family for opening their home to us and allowing us to acknowledge our friend, and who has just basically been an architect of this fine city we live in, and an absolute leader and kind gentleman. So lovely to work with Eric, and nice to see him tonight. So thank you, Council. That was a good meeting. Not always in agreement, but always cordial with each other, and I appreciate that. We're adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you.